Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the program. Bob Pompiani, Jason Mackey with you today as Joe Starkey is out. He'll be back on Friday. I'm sure he's at a simulator if he's not out of town somewhere playing golf. I'm not sure what Joe does, but I know he's addicted to golf. Do you like golf, Jason?
So it's funny you ask that, Pomp. Yes, I do. I don't play enough, and it's sort of a New Year's resolution, if you call it that, to play more. That was one of my Christmas presents, was a whole bunch of money for Cool Springs Golf Resort or whatever you call it. And so I just want to go there more and play and learn. Like, I know a little bit. I don't know a lot. I'd embarrass myself, but I do like it, and I want to.
Well, this
so I might be coming
year,
to you for some advice.
You got, if I go down, there's a place that I like called Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County, and it has really advanced simulators, and it, you know, my nephew was there yesterday, and we're playing a little challenge. Brock, my nephew, can hit the ball ridiculously far. He was a scholarship golfer. All three of my nephews were, so they can play. It's really impossible for me to compete. However, you can change, you know, tees there are adjustable. It's a really good place to go. If you ever want to meet up, I'll show you what it's like, and we can play a little competition.
I would. I have to brush up on my game first so I don't completely get embarrassed. Although with the simulator, it'd be easier.
It
Maybe
is.
Maybe we should do that versus down, going on a course. I'm not wasting everybody's time.
Plus, you can get a beer, right? It's right around the corner.
You get a beer on the course, too.
Yeah, you can do that. But this is easier access. You don't have to wait until the halfway house. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But they have this setup now. It's called Golf Zone, where the ball pops up. You know, you have to, in place, you have to go and retrieve the ball and put it back on the tee. Pops up immediately at the 9 yards golf lounge. So that's why I like it. So for people like me who don't want to bend over too much, that's a very good thing. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Have the U.S. Open coming to Oakmont this year. That'll be fascinating. I'm looking forward to that. But we have a lot of people who want to talk all sorts of sports here, Jason. So let's get right to it, beginning with Josh, who joins us on line 4. Hello, Josh. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year.
I just want to me, Justin Fields is more of an investment long-term. If you go back to his days, he was on that show QB1 in high school. Like, he's always progressed, you know, put in the right situation, he progressed. In high school on that show, he progressed, went to Georgia, moved to Ohio State. Like, he's got the skills, and he's still young. Like, with Russ, you know kind of what you're getting with Russ. He's going to be 37 next year.
38.
A couple years out of him. 37 next year, right?
No, oh, I think regardless. He just turned. Didn't he just have a birthday? And I think he turned 37.
I thought he was 36.
Can you check that out?
Yep. He's 36. He'll be 37. He just turned 36 at November 29th.
November.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a year off, but 37. Okay. Still.
So you get a couple years out of him, and then what? Then you're searching. I just think Justin has a lot of upside. He hasn't been in, he was in Chicago. Like, give the guy a chance. I just think he has a lot of upside. He has the skills and put in the right situation, and regardless who the QB is, we got to get whoever it's going to be needs help. So,
well, there's a lot of work to do on the offensive side. Thanks, Josh. You're right.
Yeah, and I disagree with Josh for this reason, and I certainly respect where he's coming at with Justin Fields and believing in Fields, but isn't the desire for the Steelers to win now? Like, they're not out for a long-term project.
Well, with Art the guys Rooney, they have, yeah.
You want to win now. You want the shortest possible solution to that. I would understand if somebody said, look, neither of these guys are good enough. They need to go sign Sam Darnold, which I don't think Sam Darnold's leaving Minnesota, but that's another discussion. You say, like, we need a ready-made.
They do have J.J. McCarthy, and they did draft him in the first round. They also, for some strange reason, and I'm sure it's just because of insulation, they brought in Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I'm not looking at Daniel Jones.
No, no, I'm just saying.
But
they have an interesting dynamic in their quarterback.
They do, and you could say, hey, they should go make an offer for J.J. McCarthy. And that might make sense, but there's no guarantee J.J. McCarthy is going to be anything. There's no guarantee he's going to be, you know, able to start week one of the 2025 season.
Malik Willis was a name that we got on the text line as well.
No.
No.
Please, no.
I'm not a proponent of that either, but I know there was a lot of talk before the draft where the Steelers took Pickett, and he did look good in very limited sample size earlier this year.
Do you get a lot on the text line? If so, let us know, because I don't have access to it here. At least I don't.
Well, that was one of the recommendations. Someone said Kirk Cousins, which I cannot imagine that would ever work.
Please, no.
That's a bad investment Atlanta made, and they're going to pay the price for that one.
We also got text, by the way. People enjoy shower beers and post.
Thank you.
Grass mowing beers.
Thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, what they agree with Jason in that regard.
Pop, I can't believe you've never had a shower beer.
No, I don't bring anything into the shower.
Airport beer was also listed as being top tier.
Yeah, airport beer, very good.
And what about first beer of the vacation.
How about a mulligan beer when you're at the halfway, like after a round of golf, it's a great.
That's the
one time I will. That and
I'm with you there.
Yard work, I like beer. It cools you down, at least it should in my mind. Probably doesn't, but water would be better. But it seems to be the right drink of choice for that time.
I agree. And I've just always
I just don't understand where do you put a beer in the shower?
Like, on the shelf. I move the shampoo out and put the beer on the shelf.
You've never had an accident?
Never.
Never.
Not once in my life. I've been having shower beer since college. That's when we started.
Hopefully you don't confuse the shampoo and the beer too much.
Well, the beer is supposed to be good for your scalp, though, by the way. You can put it on your hair, and it'll make it grow better. It does.
We would do that in college. Sorry, Westminster. I'm gonna out this. But, I mean, you had like a four-person shower stall thing, and there were, you know, like it wasn't a big community thing, not that whatever. We would bring a six-pack in there and just be like, hey, let's go shower, pregame shower beer. Yeah, I don't know. Right. I never thought it was weird. I do it at home. I don't do it at 8 a.m., but I'll do it in the evening.
It's about when you take your shower. That matters.
Yes.
Let's go to Rob in West Mifflin, joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Rob?
Shower beer?
Yes, shower beer. You anti-shower beer?
Never heard of that. First time I ever heard of that.
I'm telling you, try it tonight. You'll thank me tomorrow.
I don't take nothing I eat or drink in the bathroom at all, man.
Well, that's different. Now, if you're sitting on a toilet, that's a different situation. And right. I know that may gross some people out. But if I'm typically there for a long period of time, that's where I do some pretty good reading. So
yeah, I get some of my good bets in, man. That's how I call them. Bullet bets. Yeah, but happy New Year to y'all too, fellas.
You too.
Same.
I've been watching a lot of football, man, and. It takes a lot. It takes these guys. Anybody doesn't catch on, because I got in the car when I heard y'all talking about offensive coordinators and all that. Anybody doesn't catch right on, man. Like, you know, I'm gonna use Sam Darnold for this. Like, he's with a good offensive coordinator, a good coach. So he called. He looks great, phenomenal, right? Probably the best ever in his career. But I wouldn't just give up on Justin Fields, man. I mean, I wouldn't. I know it's gonna be hard to keep both of them. But if you look back at some of those games that he played. He had some downfield throws that was negated by holding penalties. George Pickens, the penalty, right? In New England, he threw a dart down in Denver. He could throw the ball downfield. And Tomlin's the kid. I don't know, you know, Tomlin's everybody's on his knee right now, but I think he'll be around. But he's the type of coach that can coach that out of Justin Fields. And we've seen that the first five games that he played.
I just
wouldn't be so quick to give up. I'm sorry, Bonnie. Go ahead.
No. I don't view it as giving up on Justin Fields. Like
I didn't say y'all did.
No. Let me explain this dynamic, because I don't think this is something you understand this. I don't think that the society writ large here understands it enough. If they choose Russell Wilson, Justin Fields is a person. He wants to play. He wants the best opportunity to go out. Like, he's a free agent and can control that. So I would fully expect Justin Fields to go somewhere and play, not sign up here to be a backup again.
Right. That's going to be his choice. And if he can't get a starting job, it's going to be like Bo Prabula of Penn State. I can't get the starting job. I'm going to move on. He could use the same thing. Now, the question is, how many people would want him as a starter in this league right now? The Steelers would have an opportunity for him if they so desired. I don't know how many other teams would have that opportunity.
I mean, I see a lot of teams out there, Bob, that are hard up on quarterback play. Look at the Giants.
I understand that.
It helped
there was a rumor that Fields would go to the Giants at one point.
Yeah. Now, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm not sure I want to do that.
Well, that's the other thing.
I'm not sure I want to subject myself to.
Right.
Maybe you stay here and say, you know what, I'm going to take my chances around what I know, which is fair.
Excuse me, fellas. You think the way Wilson has been playing the last few weeks that they're going to give this guy $100 million?
That's why I said it's incomplete for me. I want to see what happens in this game and also, more importantly, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'll make my decision accordingly after that. But just because, and I do think age is a factor. I just do. You know, at some point you're going to have to move on from him. When is that point? They do want to win now, to Jason's point, when you have older players on your roster and you want to get them to that area. This is similar to the Penguins, right, Jason? I mean, you got guys now. They want one more opportunity to do this.
It's now. It's now.
So if you're Kyle Dubas, you have the same problems here trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? Do I think future? Do I think present? Do I think – thanks, Rob, by the way, and Happy New Year. We appreciate the call.
Bob.
What?
Real quick, Bob. I want to switch lanes real quick because I'm a Paul Skeens fan, and we haven't done nothing at all.
There we go.
Do you think Paul Skeens, because I know he's a great competitor – I would go up to the front office and ask, like, what are we doing? Like, he only has maybe 3-4 years or less. Like, what are we doing? We have to go for it now. Like, what are we doing? You think he would have enough kahunas to go up there and do that, Bob?
Well, I think he may not, but his agent will. Jason, you have information on this. Thanks again, Rob. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Here's where I come down on this Skeens thing, and I was talking about this with Bostic this morning. I don't think Paul would be quiet. I don't. I don't think he would have any problem talking to anybody because he wouldn't do it as a jerk. He would do it as, look, I want to win. I'm doing everything I can here to win. And you can't look at Paul Skeens and tell me he's not doing everything he can to – his entire life is oriented toward striking dudes out and doing his job. So if he doesn't feel like that's being reciprocated on the organizational end, I have no doubt that he'd say something. But I think what – and that's the inside of it. The outside of it is fans probably need to realize there are other ways to do this. Look at Cleveland. Look at Tampa. Put down how frustrated you are with the Pirates. I understand that. This could work. Like, if you're Paul Skeens, you need to at least objectively give this a chance to work. Based on his lens, he came up here in, what, the second week of May.
Yep.
They were good. They were 2 games over .500. They added at the deadline. I know they flopped. I know stuff went awry. I'm not saying it didn't, but... if you're Paul Skeens, you're probably saying, okay, I'm going to look and see if what you're saying can work, will work. I'll give it a chance. And then at that point, we're going to operate accordingly. But, you know, he's not going to go busting down doors now. He's not going to be a jerk now. I think he legitimately thinks that the Pirates can win. And I don't think he's crazy for thinking that. I think they can win. They were winning last year. There's things they have to do differently, do better. You can criticize them. I don't think they're that far off from being an over 500 fringe playoff team, Bob. I don't.
But they have to make some moves now, and absolutely. The pitching would tell you that, which is probably why I think the reaction to the Spencer Horwitz deal with Luis Ortiz was something that, again, from a position that people knew what they had in Ortiz. They saw the results. They don't know anything about Spencer Horwitz. But if you do a deep dive, you'll find, as you have, Jason, that the guy actually has legit potential to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And if that turns out to be the case, you won't care that they gave up Luis Ortiz because they have enough pitching starting depth, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not endorsing the trade, Bob. I don't like the trade. I ripped the trade in the Post-Gazette. Like, I think they gave up too much to get it. I would not trade young starting pitching. I would lean into the asset they have. But if we objectively look at what Spencer Horwitz did last season, he was not a terrible baseball player. There's a stat, WRC Plus, that I know the older crowd will dismiss and say it's stupid, but what it does is tries to encapsulate all of a player's offense, get it down to one number. His was either 125 or 127. I haven't looked it up. But 100 is considered league average. Spencer Horwitz, by number, over 100 games, was a significantly above average player. For context, that WRC Plus number for Jackson Merrill, who was the runner-up in the Rookie of the Year voting, was 130. Like, that's the level of production that the Pirates got. Again, I don't like giving up the pitching. I would hoard it if I was the Pirates. But there's a possibility this deal might not stink. Everybody hates it now. I get it.
Right.
But as a possibility, it might not stay.
But they need to do more because the clock is ticking
out
on
in the outfield. There's
too many
question marks.
You got their
bullpen,
guys.
Too many question marks. Totally.
And you're not going to solve it internally. That's clear right now. You might down the road. Who knows? But not now. And if you have Paul Skenes for right now, we have a lot of now going on here. We have the Penguins trying to win now. The Steelers trying to win now. And now you have the Pirates because you have reasons to expect them to try to win now, given elite talent that you may have. One more call before we go. I know we're a little behind. Daryl in Houston, Texas has been waiting. We have Scott and Jeanette, Brad in Brookline. But Daryl, you're on. Make it quick, please, if you don't mind.
I will. Real quick, I wouldn't even think about re-signing Russell Wilson anything over 2 years, $30 million max. I would go with Justin Fields because you're trying to say we got to win now, but you got to reconstruct that offense to take advantage of what you don't have. You don't have a second receiver. You're going to have another rookie probably at left tackle. You got to have a running back that you're going to have supplement that. You got holes all over. You can't afford to spend $30 million on a quarterback who's mid at best. And Jason, you said that both you guys said, hey, you saw, you know, Arthur Smith can't design plays over the middle because Russell Wilson can't throw the middle.
Yep.
Well, we didn't see that with Justin Fields either, though. We didn't see it with him. He was throwing boundary to boundary.
But they never gave Justin Fields the opportunity to throw those passes. They kept him restricted. And the restriction is not because he can't. They would just try to minimize his mistakes.
I think that's true. I think that's the Mike Tomlin mantra.
Afraid.
Right.
Because all you see from Russell Wilson are four patterns. Flat, down the
check
seam.
Check down.
Well, that's the flat. Check down the seam. Moon ball down the foul line and moon ball down the middle of the field. That's it. No end cuts, no skinny posts, no drag routes, no crossing routes. Because you can't throw them. So if you're going to throw $30 million at Russell Wilson, you might as well just – you're dreaming in color. You might as well blow it all up because you're not going to win with him. You need somebody that can create plays. You need playmakers. And just because Justin Fields didn't have an opportunity to do that doesn't preclude him from not being able to because at this point, Russell Wilson, his days are numbered. I just think that's waste of money.
Interesting take. Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah. But,
I mean, there's a lot to say that he said there that's accurate, I think.
I agree.
And they have to determine what they have to do because the offense is incomplete at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, he spoke on something that I was talking about earlier in the show, Bob, where we don't have a total picture on what Justin Fields can do. I mean, at practice, it's one thing, but he was so handcuffed, limited early on this season. I don't have any great sense for whether he can throw over the middle. And you're making a heck of a bet there by turning away Russell Wilson, not going to the draft, not going through free agency to say, here's this guy who's never done this thing, but we're going to hitch our wagon to the idea that he's going to be able to do this thing, and we need him to do it immediately because there's urgency.
Yeah, but
that's
sometimes you make a risky play and you get a big reward. You know, other times it doesn't work that way. It's up to their assessment of what it is. Right now, it is 12:21, which means it's time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums that they have at 724-443-5610, Buell Insurance Agency. We have Scott and Jeanette, Brad and Brookline. We're going to open this up to some Pirates, some Penguins, some Steelers. We got it all for you right here. Bob Pompiani along with Jason Mackey and Mr. Seth Meyers, who has an update for you coming up. All right, we're back with more Bob Pompiani and Jason Mackey. And with you, Joe Starkey has the day off. I want to remind you about the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And there's some interesting takes on there, which we'll get to in a bit. But Jason, unfinished business with these callers. Scott has been waiting in. Jeanette, Scott, you're on the air. Thank you for calling and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. I want to comment on a couple things. One, the Justin Fields situation. I think if you look, I'm not going to compare Justin Fields to Lamar Jackson or to Daniels in D.C., but I think those two, of how somebody like Justin Fields can be successful in the NFL. Both those teams have college experienced coordinators that run more of a system that those guys were successful with in college. My own opinion, Justin Fields was drafted into the NFL, and everybody thinks he's supposed to become a drop-back passer or a pocket passer, and that's not what that kid was in college. He was a zone read, play-action pass, get him outside, let his legs make plays, and if they came up to play him on the run, he threw the ball, and he threw a good deep ball. And they can't expect him to be Russell Wilson, because he's not Russell Wilson, just as Russell Wilson is not Justin Fields. The second...
Think we lost him. Routes,
nope. We're having problems with your phone there, Scott. So
the things you need with the crossing routes is you...
Well, that's not going to make a lot of sense. So, sorry, Scott. I heard your first point there. You know, you still have to be able to. One thing, if you got to be able to pass in the pocket. You have to. It has to be part of, and he still needs to develop there more. But I'll say the same thing that I said about Lamar Jackson when he first came into the league as the last pick of the first round. Still hard to believe that. Just like T.J. Watt was number 30 in a year when people could have used him as a defensive player of the year. Anyway, he was more of a running kind of guy. He wasn't doing the thing. It took him some time, and he's evolved into really terrific at what he's been able to do. But running had a lot to do with it. So, Jason, I still think there's upside. I got to believe that kid could take it to another level. And if they believe that as well, they may very well say, this is in our best interest longer term to go for a younger guy who still has the wheels, but we believe he can develop as a pocket passer.
Yeah, I mean, I just view that as a greater risk than probably makes sense for the Steelers. I mean, if you want individual results, that there's a better chance of them happening right now, you're going to go with Russell Wilson or free agency. There's too much unknown. I understand what the caller's saying about Justin Fields and how you run a college-style offense and cater to a guy's needs or whatever. We don't know whether he can do that. We don't know whether he can do that because, one, he was handcuffed here early on, whether it's by Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, or whatever, the Steelers not wanting to turn the ball over. He was handcuffed in Chicago by terrible coaching and a terrible coordinator situation there. It might work out. I'm just saying that you sort of know what you have with Russ. I feel like I've become the Russ defender, but I just think based on their overall goals, team scheme, what you want to do, what's coming from ownership, that Russ makes more sense, provided it's not a ton of money. You know, one caller threw out like $40 million. I'm not going. I wouldn't go to 30. I'd probably want it definitely under 25, maybe under 20.
I think 30 is a number, even if it's for Fields. Justin Fields is not going to sit here and take backup money.
No, he's not.
Because he's in a position where they decline the fifth-year option. He can do what he pleases. And if he finds another opportunity out there, and just as there are going to be openings for head coaches, there are going to be a lot of teams looking for quarterbacks. Now, if they believe he can be that guy to move in and do it, they're going to pay him that sort of money. But, again, we'll see. It's a work in progress moving forward here. They still have to worry. How far do you think the Steelers can go, Jason? This is one thing I wanted to ask you earlier.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be either a fifth or a sixth seed. That means no home games. That means on the road, and they'll be underdogs. They've been underdogs for the last 3 weeks, and they are again against Cincinnati, which is very interesting to me. But it goes to tell you about the quarterback. This is all about the quarterback, period. There's no other reason why you would favor Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, is there?
No, and I think they can win a playoff game, Bob. I think they can go to Houston and win, and I think that's it. Because of the level of matchup, I think because of how the Texans are playing, I don't see any way. They haven't given us any evidence to believe that they can beat the Ravens. The way the Ravens are playing now, I understand they beat the Ravens this season. That, to me, was sort
of
deluding.
They were in the game late in that game.
Right. If Justin Tucker actually makes a couple field goals, they lose that game.
True.
So let's be honest there. But, I mean, they did beat them. I get it. It's just a different team. They can't beat Kansas City. That wasn't close. They're not going to beat Buffalo. I don't see why that would happen. Who else am I missing? The Chargers? I don't think they're going to wind up playing the Chargers.
No. Wouldn't it be something if Baltimore lost the game against Cleveland? They're 18.5-point favorites.
Though?
Well, I asked that same question the first time they played. They lost
half
to them.
Half of Cleveland's lineup's hurt.
I understand it. And DTR is in there for that reason, that they don't want to win, I don't think. But the point is, just play along with me here.
All right.
How about if they do, and the Steelers correspondingly lose?
Oh, God.
That's even worse painful way to get in.
Just don't even show up for the playoff game.
No, I think if that happens, they'll win. And I think the motivation will be there. They'll realize it. They'll sense it. The fans will know it, and they'll win. But it ain't going to be easy against that team.
Bob, I don't know how they're going to stop T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
That's the biggest thing.
I'm serious.
And they're healthy, though. They have Porter back, Jackson back.
Like I said, I don't know how they're going to stop T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
The only way is to put crazy pressure on him.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And even then, it may not be enough. He knows how to step up and avoid it. He's been good about it. He's actually a stronger presence in the pocket to shed would-be tacklers. So that's a tough assignment. All right, back to it. Let's go to Scott in Murraysville. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Not too much, Bob. How you guys doing today?
We're doing well, man.
I just wanted to the quarterback conversation between the two here. I think that Russell Wilson is definitely a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Age, any reasons we want to think about. But I think we've seen enough of Justin Fields to realize that he cannot throw that ball. I think that is one of those things that you either have or you do not have. And he's got all the legs in the world, the youth, the strength, the size, everything. He just does not have good touch on the football. And I just don't know how you teach that. And the other thing is just real quick about what I heard earlier about the MVP of the league. Like you said, Bob, if Saquon Barkley does not win this year, no running back will ever do it again. He possibly is about to do something that no running back has ever done. Other quarterbacks have done what these quarterbacks have done, minus Lamar's running ability, before. And Saquon's not even in the conversation. All right, that's it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott. But that's true. I mean, I don't know what more he has to do to win an MVP. And if it's not that, you may as well just change the name of it to MVQ. Just call it that. Not player, but Q. Because that's what it is. Every year it's Q.
Yeah, I'm with you. Halfway through our taking calls on that, I just went over to the Saquon Barkley argument. Honestly, for the uniqueness of it, for the respect for what Saquon Barkley's doing, for how much he's helped the Eagles, even when, you know, again, I expressed belief in their passing game, and I still have that, but when that wasn't clicking, Saquon Barkley was running over people for some of the numbers he's put up, touchdowns, catching the ball out of the backfield, the ridiculous joystick juke that he had. And it renders all the other argument moot. We're not talking about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Give it to the running back. Nobody's ever doing this.
So Nick Sirianni today, or whenever he had his press conference, was asked about how he plans to utilize him. He said, at this point, I haven't made up my mind. You're Nick Sirianni, Jason. What would you do? He's close to setting the all-time record, yet you're already number two seed, most likely going to be number two seed no matter what. So your playoff position is secure. You have to play in the first round. You don't get a bye, unlike in previous years. So what do? Do you play him and give him a chance to enter that record book for all time in an Eagles uniform or not?
I would do exactly what Nick Sirianni did earlier. I think it was earlier this season, maybe last year with Saquon, where he sits down next to him and says, what do you want to do? I respect you. I respect your career. What do you want to do? I will back whatever you want to do. And if Saquon says I'm good, I said then he's good. And I'd probably wear it for him as the coach and say, don't put that on him. Put it on me. Say, I'm not letting him play. You can get mad at me. I'm holding him out.
Right.
Protect the player. That's how you run a team, generate a culture, whatever. If Saquon wants to go for it, I'd respect that too. And I would just say, I'm going to ask you, man to man, if you feel something, understand that there's a goal here and just be honest with me. Be honest with me and we'll get you out of there.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it. I mean, it's his record and he's close to it. And if he were 180 yards away, I'd have a different thought. But he's, you know,
I think you need to respect history, Bob.
I do too. And yeah. And I think he may want that. He may want, the Philadelphia fans would want that.
Sure.
Eagles running back, you know, best of all time. And to Seth's point earlier, who they play matters. They're taking on the New York football Giants who discarded him. And now he has a chance to go into the record book as an Eagle against the team that discarded him.
I'm not as moved by that. That's like petty game
ball
stuff.
You don't think deep down that motivates him a little bit?
I mean, yeah, it probably fuels what Saquon feels, and that's fine. And he should feel however he wants to feel. But like you're asking me as Nick Sirianni, if I'm Nick Sirianni, like, I don't feel as
you're right though
as strongly about that as I do chasing and respecting history.
And I think Sirianni would be smart to say, regardless of if this is your decision, I support it, but it's my decision publicly. I am not going to throw you out there.
Right,
you didn't tell me. I'm telling you, this is my
decision.
You
wear it as the coach.
Right, you have to do that. Rick in Westview joins us right now on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Rick, what's up? Go ahead, Rick. Sorry about that.
Yes, two things. We'll probably disagree, but that's okay. One, with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, do you want to pay somebody for maybe 3 more years? Or do you want to pay somebody that could be here for, 5 to 8 years and have to go through growing pains? I mean, look at Sam Darnold. He went through being benched, seeing ghosts, everything else. Now look what he's doing. You just can't expect these quarterbacks to be thrown in and be the next, you know, Joe Montana.
I think, thanks, Rick. That's a fair
Joe
point.
I said Joe Montana. Oh, sorry.
No, I think that's a fair point in that, you know, part of development is anticipating what guys can do. Can they take that step? You see him in practice every day as coaches. Do you believe he can do this? Part of that decision is what they think of him. They may be wrong. They may be right. You may be wrong and you may be right.
Nice.
I don't know. I mean.
Billy Joel?
Yes.
Yes. Right?
Billy Joel coming to AgriSure Stadium July the 5th along with Rod Stewart. Little shameless plug there. But anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know. He lost me at singing Billy Joel.
I had something while you get back on track. The one caller mentioned Joe Montana. Well, who followed Joe Montana? A guy who basically redshirted for 3 or 4 years after disastrous start to his career in Tampa.
Yep. That's right.
Could you convince Justin Fields to do it again? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. You know, the Steelers have to try and do that. They're a better team if they can re-sign Russ, but also convince Fields to come back for a year and say, hey, sign here. We'll pay you. We'll pay you what you'd get elsewhere. At least wait for the next cycle of quarterbacks. Like, if the best job out there is the Giants' job, he might not want that. Maybe he waits a year and makes, you know, pretty good money to do it. I don't know. I don't know if he'd do it, but I'd certainly try.
Before we go to break, you had a texter ask you a question about me, and I have answers because I consulted with my wife, Lisa, who knows a lot more about this than I do.
I have answers because I texted my wife.
Go ahead. Give me what the question is, whoever the texter was.
Yep. It was a tweeter.
Or a tweeter. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I thought it was
They wanted your top 5 Italian restaurants in the Pittsburgh area. Right, I'm going to get this person's handle.
Just because I don't limit it to 5, I'm going to give you 10. How about that? It's called cover your butt because I love all Italian food.
This is John Harmon, by the way, Francois_82. And he did say to rate your top 10 or top 5 Italian restaurants.
Okay, top 10. Thank you. You give me an out there because I need one. So in no particular order here. So Arlecchino, have you ever been there?
I have not, but I texted my wife as well when we broached this off air and she throughout Arlecchino.
Arlecchino is the sister restaurant to Alla Familia. Both very good. I know Sidney Crosby's a big fan of Alla Familia. A lot of athletes go to these places. Great. Scolios used to be right here in Greentree
at the adjacent building.
It moved. I forget where it moved. I think it's in Bridgeville or something of that nature. Velazzi's downtown Pittsburgh is very good. The original one in Greensburg is really good. Gerasoli, the guy who rocks around there, he's awesome. He drinks 2 bottles of wine a day. He's 88. Speaking about beer in the shower, how about wine every day?
I wonder if he's had a wine
and
wine.
He said at the end of the day, he's as high as a Georgia pine. That's what you find at Gerasoli. Now, De Blasio's, you were just there. You saw my man Giacomo.
I did.
De Blasio's a great place
Amazing.
To go. Also, Dianoia in the Strip District. Awesome. They have a lot of great and different kind of dishes there. Serafino in Crafton. Oh, they do a great job. Calaguire family, man, they make it happen down there. And if that's a bring your own beer or booze or anything you want to bring, but the food is terrific and I think very well priced. And there's a new one at Nemacolin Woodlands called Gusto. So all of these plates and brand new, got chefs in from New York. I mean, everything is fantastic. I love all Italian. Can you tell I can't discriminate here, Jason? I can't.
You are all encompassing, Bob.
And I probably left a few out, but I wherever you go, man, those are good choices. So. Next one, you got to let me know where you want to go next with your wife.
I will.
And I'll give you some advice and something. And maybe
we have been targeting Alla Familia Arlecchino for quite some time. So
okay.
I would like to knock that off the list.
I know the owner there. If you want to go, let me know, and I'll call him and set you up there.
Ooh.
So that's good. All right, where are we here? Now we're at we're approaching the 15-minute mark. We're not there yet, but I'm going to read it right now because we'll go by it because I've gone long here. Don't mean to do that. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, we're going to talk with Matt Venzel of the Post-Gazette about the Penguins. Very interesting story, and Kyle Dubas has some decisions. Jason and I will get into that with Matt. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, more calls on the way at 412-928-9370. Here's Seth with an update.
Oh.
Bob Pompiani, Jason Mackey with you until 2 o'clock. That's when the PM team comes in here. 412-928-9370. Ted Askew reminds me something on Twitter. You know, I knew he was going to forget restaurants. Jason, anytime you're trying to identify, and they're all great, believe me, but one I forgot, but I'm not going to forget now is Rico's, right there off McKnight Road. The Lorenzini family is great. I will tell you a little story about them. Really authentic, good, and Rico's out there cooking even at his advanced age. He's in the kitchen every day. But my daughter, Selena, when gave birth to the son, Sonny, Mac and Selena were at the AHN in Wexford.
Mm-hmm.
They brought up, because they knew that they loved their food, all of this Italian food that we took into their room with wine and everything to celebrate the birth of their son.
That's awesome.
So yeah, Rico's is a great place to go. Really outstanding Italian food. So there are so many good ones. I hate to, you're going to forget some as you go along, but don't forget about Rico's, as I did, but I won't.
Hey, Bob, how about this?
So we've talked about shower beers, food. What else do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about Penguins goaltenders real fast. I got
a little bit
of news here. Ned's getting the start against the Red Wings.
So that's two in a row.
Two in a row.
His old team.
His old team. And, I mean, this would be a situation where you'd start Jari if he was your number one, right?
Yeah.
Is he not the number one? I don't know.
Or Mike Sullivan saying he played well in that last game. We're going to reward him with another talk. But you're right.
I agree with it.
Yeah, you don't know how this is going to work out. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Randy in Mount Pleasant. Randy, what's going on?
Hi, gentlemen. Happy New Year's.
Hey,
Mr. Mackey, never talked to you before. I listen to you a lot.
It's great to talk to you, Randy.
Yeah, I've been falling apart since 1966, when I was 9 years old. And I listen to all this discussion, first base, which I agree, outfield. Why isn't it brought up about Key Brian Hayes? They should keep an eye out for another third base with Little Parr. Not to necessarily replace him, because to me, I think this guy's just been a big disappointment.
That's a good take, because, I mean, the numbers offensively just aren't there, Randy. Thank you for the call, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, they are. There's nothing they can do, Randy. And you can criticize them for the contract signed for the Hayes performance or whatever, but I mean the contract's guaranteed. They're paying Key Brian Hayes that amount of money, so I mean they're going to try to get him in there. The other thing is he's not terribly tradable right now, at least according to people that I've talked to around baseball that say they would have questions about his medicals and how his back looks, and I completely understand that too. I am intrigued by what's going on in Houston, Bob, whether there would be an option there. I've debated this with a few people, and I don't think his health is in a place where the Astros would take him. You know, they need a bat. They need a proven bat. They can afford to be choosy. But he's from there, works out there, would obviously add a lot with the glove. If his bat came around, and let's remember, he was their best hitter the last 2 months of 2023. It's in there somewhere. I mean, it's a gamble if you're the Houston Astros, but they've also gambled on a lot of things and won. So I get a feeling, I mean, if the Pirates would get something worth exploring, maybe they would. I don't think Hayes would, you know, have the worst, would be all that upset about getting dealt to Houston. I don't think it's likely to happen. It's just something, it's an intriguing opening and link there.
When they signed Christian Walker, didn't that move, who did they get from the Cubs? Paredes?
Yes.
Isak Paredes.
That moved him primarily to third base, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it seems like Hayes, he wouldn't be playing consistently at third base, I would imagine, in Houston.
Yeah. Who's their DH? Could you DH Paredes?
You could.
Yeah. I mean, does Yordan DH a decent bit at this point, or is he pretty much always in the outfield?
We're getting down in the weeds. I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe that squeezes them out. So I get that.
Let me ask you this back problem. Why is it just doesn't seem to ever go away? It recurs at certain times, and I'm sensitive to back. Obviously, it's a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an athlete and you have to go down and field balls, but what is it with it? And is it something that can?
It's a disc problem.
So he needs surgery. Should get surgery. So, defers and doesn't want to do it.
I can't. I hope I don't say anything medically stupid because I am a medical idiot. But from what I understand, that it's surgery would not fix this, and surgery does not fix some disc issues. Again, I'm not going to make a blanket statement and say that it never fixes disc issues, but. That's what Key told me. That's what I understand about the like jelly-like substance that is between your discs in your back.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I hope I'm not getting this wrong. I'm not professing to be a doctor. But that's been all worn down over time, consistent issue. Key told me the only thing that would fix it is just outright rest, which is kind of what they did this offseason. It's not something that surgery would fix. So, you're just rolling the dice. You're rolling the dice. Like, I've always thought with Key Bryan, it's coming from a place of care. He really wants to work hard, and he works his tail off, and he sometimes overdoes it. Like, sit him down. Sit him down in games. Sit him down pregame. You do not need to spend so much time on your feet, but I don't know if you're ever going to win that argument with him.
One more call before break. That's Tate in Pittsburgh. Tate is online, too, and now on the Fan. Hey, Tate.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Hey, so, sorry, I called when y'all were talking about the Steelers still.
That's fine. We bounce around.
And I was, my father's a big nut about this this radio station. I'm in the car with him right now calling.
Hey, Dad.
We're headed to Pittsburgh right now. About the quarterback situation right now, you know, I truly think that both QBs have a huge shot. I feel like if we get past Cincinnati, get to the playoffs, we can flip it around a bit, 50-50. I truly think that if we throw it around with either Casey or Buffalo, we could maybe throw them for a loop and get going, you know?
Well, Tate, I will say this, and Jason, interesting take from Tate, and that would be Justin Fields got injured with one play that he made because he had been inactive or he hadn't played in the game. He took a hit. He went out. Now he's back. I wonder how much utilization, since he's back, it looks like he will be the backup in this game. Do they do more with him, given the fact that they did earlier and then they didn't, and one play he came in there got hurt just because he hadn't played?
Yeah, I mean, now would be the time for it, right, Bob? I mean, missing a couple games, you want to have him comfortable. And I think there's an argument you don't want to disrupt Russ's rhythm. But if Russ doesn't have any rhythm and the offense isn't moving the ball, I don't care about your rhythm. I don't care about whether you're disrupted. Like, you want me to keep my backup quarterback on the bench? Go throw for 300 yards or go score some touchdowns, move the ball, and then I'll leave it the heck alone. Mm-hmm. But if you're not putting up points, yeah, I mean, I would hope that they explore this week just to get Justin back in the mix a little bit. I would hope they explore it just because it ain't working what they're doing. Why not?
Yeah, they're coming off their worst offensive output of